Aren't you grateful that you live in a nation where we desire to remember? We desire to remember what we've been able to accomplish as a nation, but we desire to remember especially how God played a role in that, how God helped us and strengthened us through our history. And we have always taken time not only to remember those who have died in the service of our country, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, but we've also honored those who gave years of their lives to serve when some of us in this room were not able to. And yet our freedom has continues because of their sacrifice. And it's good for us to remember that. I'm glad we live in a nation that sets aside some time to remember some things that God has done in the past. In fact, it is really a scriptural thing to do, is to remember the past. Now, we're not supposed to live in it, and we're not supposed to come to the point where we think that our past was the best and there's nothing better in front of us. If we know God, if we know Jesus Christ, we need to understand that for us, the best is always to come, because heaven is in our future. And no matter how things may look to us in our nation today, and no matter how much we might complain, as believers, we need to understand that we face life with an optimism that no one else can have. And that's an optimism that it doesn't all end with just this life, that we have a life with God in heaven one day. And then everything that we live by here, everything that we experience here, we don't experience it by ourselves, and we're not left alone, and we're not deserted, because God is with us. And if there's a message for Memorial Day, if there's a message for this kind of weekend that we set aside and think about those who have given their life for us, we need to understand that the ultimate life giver is Jesus Christ. Amen. And because of what he did on the cross, and everyone who's given their lives for our freedom and given their lives for us would be meaningless without the fact that 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son, and he went to Calvary, and he died for us. I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalms 105. I want us to think together about what it means to remember. I think back to the scripture that we just read out of Joshua, where the nation of Israel had forfeited their right to go into the promised land because they refused to trust God and they followed the recommendations of the spies who came and said, "This is going to be too hard for us. We shouldn't go over into Canaan because they'll defeat us. They're giants and we're just like grasshoppers. And we just can't go. We should just not do it." And so God didn't let them go. And God said there'll be 40 years. You'll wander around in the wilderness. And when all of those who refuse to obey me have died, then I will give the promised land to the next generation. And now that next generation is ready to go over to the Jordan and take the promised land that God had promised them. And it was really an inconvenient time to cross the Jordan. Have you ever noticed how sometimes God leads us to do things in our lives at the most inconvenient times in our lives? It was the same with the nation of Israel. I'm sure that all of those people who got the word from Joshua that they were going to cross the Jordan, get ready, consecrate yourselves, and they looked out in front of them and saw a Jordan River that was swollen by rains, and it was the wet season. It was the most inconvenient time to try to cross the Jordan that there could ever be. And yet, this new generation had learned a lesson. They had learned the lesson in the 40 years in the wilderness that they needed to be obedient to God, and they did prepare, and they did look forward to crossing the Jordan. And that day, Joshua told the priest to take the ark and go into the Jordan, and as they went into the Jordan, God caused the water to part. And the nation of Israel that day, crossing the Jordan on dry ground, to the other side. God was saying, look, I gave your fathers and your mothers and your grandfathers and your grandmothers the sign of crossing the Red Sea. And I divided it, and they miraculously crossed the Red Sea, and I took care of the enemies that were pursuing them. And what God was saying to these new generation is, I'm going to do the same thing for you. And I'm separating the Jordan, and I'm allowing you to go across on dry ground, and I will take care of the enemies that you're going to face. What we need to understand today is, as we come to a Memorial Day, is understand that God's promises have not changed. The same God who promised the nation of Israel that he would take care of them has also promised to each one of us here in the 21st century that he will take care of us. And no matter what Fox News says, and no matter what MSNBC says, or no matter what kind of news program you may, or fake news program that you hear from day to day, you need to understand that it has not changed God's promises to us. And we can depend upon him and trust him to take care of us. Now, sometimes the world looks pretty complicated. Sometimes the world looks like things are just going to fly apart. Sometimes we look at our leaders and we wonder, how far down can we go? And sometimes we look at our society and we can come up with all sorts of things that can discourage us. But what we need to understand as believers, and what Israel understood and what King David understood in Psalm 105, is that you don't look at all the circumstances and situations and factor God out of them. You look at the circumstances and situation and you factor God into them. It changes your whole outlook. So, the nation of Israel that day, after waiting 40 years, crossed over. And then you notice in the scripture we read, Joshua told the men, go get 12 stones out of the river. These must have been pretty big stones. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm sort of one of these guys. I look for the light ones. But there were stones that they had to put over the shoulders, and they moved them out of the Jordan, and they began to set them up. And the scripture tells us that Joshua told them to set them up as a monument, as a memorial to what God was doing. What Joshua was saying to this new nation who had just experienced the parting of the Jordan and the going over on dry ground, what he wanted them to understand is that this was something they needed to remember. They needed to remember what God had done. Because in the future, there are going to be things happening that may cause them to doubt whether God is there or not. They're going to begin to look at enemies and begin to wonder, well, is God going to be there for us? No, Joshua said, I want you to build a monument. I want you to remember this, that no matter what happens in the future, this same God who delivered you over to the Jordan into the promised land, this same God who keeps his promises, this same God who is always faithful, look at these rocks. They're a testimony to what God can do in your life. Never forget it. I believe in the midst of every memory, there is a seed of hope. You may have some memories that you don't necessarily look at and say, well, that's an encouraging memory. I want to remember that the rest of my life. But what we need to understand in the good memories and the bad memories, God plants a seed of hope. And I hope this morning, I pray this morning, as we celebrate Memorial Day, that you're able to look at your life and to look at the life of our nation and to look at the life of our families and of our church and realize that because we serve an awesome, powerful God, the best is yet to come. Amen. And I can say that with all the confidence, that the best is yet to come. Because I haven't made it to heaven yet. And no matter what happens on my way there, I know that that's the ultimate. Sometimes we We get so myopic in our sight. We just get to thinking that all that really matters is what we can put our hands on and what is happening all around us and what we can sense and feel and touch. We don't realize that really the most important things that might be happening around us are things that we cannot see and that we cannot touch and that we cannot look and see that they're really there. But they are there because God promised. And even though God doesn't give us everything that by sight that we would like to have, yet we can depend on God's promises to be true. And one of the ways that we do that is we remember. We remember those times when things were a little hectic in our lives. We remember those times when it didn't seem that we had a lot of hope. We remember those times when it just seemed that everything was going against us. We remember those times when it seems that the world was flying apart all around us, and yet God came through and God worked. And though the world may not have changed that much around us, He worked inside of us to the point where He changed us so that we could understand what was going on and understand what to do. And on this Memorial Day, I pray that when you look at the future, you're optimistic. Next Memorial Day, if God tarries and He has not returned, or we have not gone to heaven to be with Him in whatever way He decides to take us, that next Memorial Day we can say we have some great memories that God worked in our lives over this last year. We have some wonderful memories about how God was faithful and kept His promises. And in Psalm 105, that's what the psalmist, I think, is trying to get us to understand. Verse 5 is the key verse I want us to focus on this morning, where the psalmist says, remember, remember. That's what we're supposed to do on Memorial Day, is remember. Remember, remember what? The wondrous works He has done. The wondrous works He has done. Now, did the psalmist say, I want you to remember all the good things He's done? Does the psalmist say, I want you not to remember all the bad things He's done? No, he's just saying, look, I want you to remember the wondrous things He's done. Have you ever looked at some of the things that have happened in your life and they weren't really encouraging and you wondered why God allowed them to happen? But in the end, when you look back now, you think, God did some wondrous things out of that. God was in that, even though I didn't see it when it happened. And even though it was painful, yet now I look back and realize from this perspective that they were wondrous works. And that's what we need to understand about how God works in our lives. That sometimes even the bad things that come will turn out to be the wondrous things that blesses our lives in the end. And sometimes the wondrous things, we think that, man, God really did a great thing for us there. We don't even remember it past the next Memorial Day. Remember. Remember the wondrous works He has done, His wonders, and the judgments He has pronounced. I just want to ask you this morning, are your memories hope filled? Are your memories hope filled? Do they inspire hope for the future for you? I think that's what God wants our memories to do for us. He wants our memories to inspire hope within us. He wants our memories to look at what's going on around us and to see His hand in back of everything that's going on. He wants us to understand that in everything we're experiencing, we need to remember that those works are going to be wondrous because we serve a wondrous God. I just want to point out three things about how our memories can be hope-filled. First of all, we need to understand that God is a remembering God. In this psalm, in Psalm 105, the first six verses, we're going to look at them a little bit more specifically in a moment. The first six verses just really is the psalmist talking about how wonderful it is to remember the wondrous works of God. But then after that, in verses 7 through the rest of Psalm, he is rehearsing and he is talking about everything that God has done for the nation. And in fact, in verse 8, he says that God remembers his covenant forever. He talks about Abraham and about Isaac and about Jacob. He talks about how they got to Egypt because of the famine and everything that was going on. He talks about how they were a very small nation, only about 70 of them who ended up going to Egypt. And yet, when they got there, God took care of them. He brought them through the famine. And even when it seemed things were turning against them and there was a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, and Joseph was gone off the scene and they were under persecution and domination, he brought Moses. And Moses came, and by God's strength and by his leadership, Moses led them out of Egypt into the promised land. In verse 42 of the Psalm, the psalmist says, "For God remembered his holy promise to Abraham and his servant." See, what we need to understand is that the promises that God has given each one of us, the promises that he's laid in our heart, are not just promises that he came up with in the last 30 seconds. They're not promises that he just came up with in the last couple of days or couple of years. They were promises that can be traced all the way back to the promise he made to Abraham that he would be a chosen people. We need to understand that this is the depth of how God promises us things. He doesn't just promise us things because he just thought of it, but he promises us things based on everyone who's gone before and all the promises he's made that has gone before, and our promises, the promises we live by. His holy promise is just as sure for us as it was sure for Abraham and all the Old Testament saints. So when we go into the Old Testament and we read about Abraham and we read about Joseph and we read about all these people who received the promises of God, and we see how those promises sometimes seem like they weren't going to come about. Sometimes we look and see, well, how are they going to mess this up? And yet we see that in the end, God always keeps his promise to them. And what we're supposed to get out of that is, that's the way God is with us. The promises he makes to us today are just as sure as the promises he made to Abraham and to the saints of old. And even to the people who failed to be faithful back to him, he continues to keep his promises. We have a promise-keeping God. And he is a remembering God. He never forgets what he's promised us. Now, we're good forgetters. When we look into the Old Testament over and over again, as God's making his promises, he remembers all of his promises. It's we as his people, it's we as human beings that forget our promises to him, but he never forgets his promises to us. Hope-filled memories come when we realize that God, our Lord, God is a remembering God. He keeps his promises. His promises are good. Good is done. And we need to remember that. But also hope-filled promises result in some things. Look in the first few verses here of 105. The psalmist here is praising God. He starts by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell about all his wondrous works. Boast in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Now, what's the psalmist talking about here? He's talking out of an understanding and out of a realization that God is a God who does wondrous works. And it has brought him to the point, it has led him to the point where he is thankful. Do your memories lead you to thankfulness to God about what he's done in your life? It also led him to call upon the name of the Lord. He realized that what he really needs to do, no matter what's going on in his life, is call on the Lord. Call on him to help him to understand what's going on. Call on him to help him to interpret all the things that are going on in his life that he doesn't quite understand. When's the last time you've gone through a situation in your life, a hard time in your life, and you've just sort of let it get on top of you and overwhelm you? And you just let it bring you down instead of calling on the Lord and saying, God, help me to understand what you're doing here. Help me to understand what you're bringing about here. Oh, God, help me to trust you where you're leading me and where you seem to be placing me. Help me to trust you for what you're doing in my life. Notice that the psalmist here talks about how he sings to him. Now, some of us may not have very good voices to sing, and we may sing off key, but God brings us to the point when he begins to work in our lives and we begin to remember all of his wondrous works. It should lead us to singing. It should lead us to singing praises to him. Even if they're off key, we praise him in our singing. And then he talks about how he looks at all the wondrous works and he just needs to tell somebody about it. He says here that in verse 3, boast in his holy name. We're really good at boasting in our name. We're really good about bragging about us. But see, what we need to understand about remembering all of God's wondrous works is it should motivate us to brag on God. That the world can look at all the blessings we have and everything that we have and realize that it's not because of us, but it's because God, for some reason, chose to bless us and to give us what we have. And that it's all in God's hands and it's all from him. So many times we steal God's glory about all the things that we have. We steal God's glory when it comes to enjoying his blessings. Instead of when we are blessed by him, we look up to God and we look out to the world and we shout to the world, this is what God has done. It's not what I've done. I deserve nothing. Then let the hearts rejoice. Are you having a hard time being joyful about where you are? I know that we live in a world where a lot of people preach that if you're right with God, you'll be joyful and everything will be okay with everything else. If you're right with God, your bank account will just automatically increase and inflation will never touch it. Some people preach that if you're really right, you know, if you don't have any of that kind of thing going in your life, then there's something must be wrong with you. You just don't have enough faith. Folks, it's not about how much faith you have. It's about where you put your faith that really counts. It's who you trust. And if you're trusting in some preacher who's giving you all those kinds of things, then you're going to wind up in worse shape. But if you're trusting in God, he'll lead you where you need to be, and he'll give you what you need to have. He may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. We can rejoice where God puts us. We can rejoice. Hope-filled memories come, results in this kind of life, in this kind of attitude. When we remember the wondrous works of God, and it inspires us to stand up in front of people and tell them that God is the reason, God is working. And when bad things happen to me, don't blame them on God. God's just still working on me. And sometimes that's the way he works on me. But then also the psalmist says, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. Part of hope-filled memories come when we decide that we're going to seek the Lord above everything else. In every situation, in every circumstance, in everything that's happened in our lives, the first thing that we're going to do is seek God. And there's two things we want to seek God for. There's two things that we need when we're going through some of the situations and circumstances we go through. There are two things we need. And usually they are the two things that we overlook the most. First of all, we need strength from Him. Notice what He said. Seek the Lord and His strength. When we face situations and circumstances, we need to come into His presence and understand that the only way I can survive this, the only way I can walk through this situation and circumstance is not by depending upon my own strength. My own strength is not enough. God continually tells us that you cannot earn your way to a relationship with Him. You can't earn your way through life. You've got to depend on His grace. And the only way to depend on His grace is to seek Him and to understand that life has to be lived according to His strength and not your own. It means constantly coming to the point where we're placing our trust in Him, and we understand that the only way we can get through some situations and circumstances is to trust Him every day and experience the strength that only He can give. How are you trying to live your life? Are you trying to live your life according to the conventional wisdom that you hear in the media? Are you trying to live your life according to every little thing that you can read off of your smartphone? And you know, they say that that's supposed to make you smarter. But anyway, is that what you're depending on? Are you depending on an understanding that I have to have His strength to make it? The psalmist did. Psalmist said, seek the Lord and His strength, and what else? And seek His face. What does it mean to seek God's face? Is there a Polaroid picture? I mean, that dates me, doesn't it? Is there a picture on your cell phone of God that you can look at and you just seek that? No. Seeking God's face is another way of saying, in every situation and circumstance of life, I'm going to seek God's presence. When we seek His face, we are seeking His presence. When I'm hurting, I seek His face and I ask for His comforting and healing presence. When I'm emotionally hurt, I seek His comforting presence. When I'm restless and I don't know what to do next, I seek the peace of His presence. When I'm physically hurting, I seek His presence and I seek a good doctor. You see, what we need to understand is seeking His face is just going into every situation and circumstance of our life. And instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, instead of saying, oh, why me, God, we come into God's presence and say, God, most of all, I need some relief and I'd like to have some relief, but God, please show me who You are through this. In Your presence, reveal Yourself to me. Help me to know You better for what's going on in my life. That brings us to hope-filled memories. I think it's only until we go through that process that we can truly celebrate a day that's called Memorial Day. It's only when we come to the point where we understand that Memorial Day is based on trust. And it's a trust in God. The greatest memory, the most wondrous work that's ever been done, is a work that we're going to celebrate today. And that's the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for us. An unspeakable gift. Something that God could have only thought of and that God could have only purchased in sending His Son to the cross. We're going to celebrate His body and remember how Jesus gave his body for us. He gave everything for us so that we might know him and enjoy eternal life with him. And so this morning, we're going to end our time of worship and the time of message by celebrating and remembering the most wondrous gift and the most wondrous act of God ever done. And that's the cross and the empty tomb. Let's bow together. Father, we come to the Lord's table today. And we come, Father, that asking you to bless this time that we have together to remember your body and to celebrate your blood that was shed for us. Father, we come just thanking you that while we were yet still sinners, your Son Jesus died for us and gave his life for us. So, Father, as we come here, we know that we're not coming to partake literally of your body and of your blood, but we come symbolically to say, we belong to you. Thank you for the body you've given. Thank you for the blood that you've shed. And Father, it's because of our trust and our faith in you, that time when we trusted you as Savior, that we're able to make this a meaningful time in your presence. So God, bless us as we remember this wondrous work of salvation. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.